Okay, guys, welcome to this podcast. So today we have the topics of social movements and equal protection. So the first topic that we would like to discuss about is the civil rights movement. And what I found most interesting was the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and this made discrimination illegal in hotels, motels, restaurants, and other places. And it also forbade discrimination in employment on the race or color, nationality or religion or gender of different people. So I don't know how you guys feel about this act and how big it made the changes of, like, for today.
I mean, I don't think the society we live in today would be completely different without the Civil Rights Act. And
It would be very different.
Okay. Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because today, you know, schools, all that stuff, schools, bathroom, you know, you go to restaurants, you see, you know, different colored people walking in, eating, and that's, you know, that's society today. And if it wasn't for that act, you know, today would have been very different. You would probably see still segregated restrooms, etc., schools.
And, like, not even that. I mean, it's not even like it was like a sudden movement. It was like it took years and years to
process.
It was a really long process.
And I think parts of that might have been dealing with primarily in the South. Yeah. I think that act was really more focused around the southern areas, like the southern states and the deep Jim Crow law states.
True.
Compared to, I think, most of the northern states, or even most primarily East Coast states, have already done or enforced desegregation. And it's made in the 14th Amendment that people should be protected equally. And that's already the legislation in support for desegregation enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yet states do not have complete enforcement of such legislation.
Yeah, so I like how you put how the South was having trouble integrating schools. They didn't completely follow it until they were forced or threatened that they were kicked or being closed down by the government.
So something interesting about the Civil Rights Act was that, like, it was actually the longest debated bill in 180 years, and it had 500 amendments, and it was discussed for 534 hours. So that just kind of shows how long it took to, you know, get these things.
Yeah, and it was very not, like, partisan. I don't know how to say it. So parties weren't really on side of issue. It wasn't bipartisan. It was more like, yeah.
So another topic that I'd like to discuss is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So the EEOC, and, you know, how discrimination in the workforce and all of that. So basically, the EEOC is a federal agency that was that's in charge of administrating and enforcing civil rights laws in the workplace. And I just like to talk about that, if you guys have any opinions.
So can you just, like, call them if you find?
They basically handle any case against discrimination. So say you have a problem in the workforce and you believe that they're discriminating against you, it would go through them first.
Right. So, like, speaking about like employment, mm-hmm. like, say you, Tommy, you work where?
I work at Journeys.
Yeah. And how do you feel there? Do you feel equal and to the rest?
I feel pretty equal. A lot of people that were hired, they are a mix of different races, mix of different genders, sexualities, and etc. But if I were to be discriminated against, that would be pretty bad. It's just a simple place of the law. So to be discriminated against, there will be no reason for it. We're all people. We all have equal opportunities and should have equal opportunities. So
yeah.
Yeah, equality, yeah.
Well, equality.
All right. Also, I would like to talk about how you said that you... The gender roles.
Gender roles, yeah.
And to... You're a male, but how would a female be in this social equality
viewpoint? Yeah.
Viewpoint.
Yeah.
How would they be?
How would they be?
Their opinions of it.
Do you mind if I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I feel like we've come a long way since back when women weren't allowed to work and the gender gap, the pay gap, you know. But I feel like we've really improved quite a bit. Like
Definitely,
yeah. So I feel like women in the workplace, they're treated just as equal as men. And they get, in most places, they get paid just about the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't know anything because I haven't really been in the real world, like working mm-hmm. in the society. But mm-hmm. I've read that women's pay on average is less than men's pay on average mm-hmm. due to the occupations that they've had.
I mean, it's not like they get paid less for the same amount
jobs,
of work. You know,
right.
that's not the case.
So it's the occupation.
Yeah, it depends
so
on
the
occupation. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the next topic. Let's talk about feminism. It's a social movement. What is feminism? The dictionary defines it as the advocacy of women's rights on sure basis the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of sexes. Now, I'm pretty sure the definition has changed over time because it sounds like modern feminism. Basically, feminism, I believe, is a political ideology of its range of political movements, ideologies, and social movements that share a common goal to define, establish, and achieve political, economic, and personal and social gender. That sounds a lot better, and I feel that nowadays feminism demonizes men. Let's take it back after World War II ended. When the roles of women dramatically changed between the 1960s and 70s, when women's rights movement started for equality in the workplace, etc. What do you guys think?
So, like, after World War II, I definitely think, especially, like, during World War II, women were, like, treated just as equal as men. I mean, they put... during World War II, especially America, they needed all the help they can get. And a lot of the women, they would work like day and night in the factories
mm-hmm.
to provide ammunition, clothing, food, all that. They were rationing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They really like put an impact in the World War II, and they were definitely like one of the main reasons why we did so well and we defeated Nazis. And I feel like after that point, you know, they were treated with much more respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they showed that they could work. They were able to put in work, you know, and I feel like it would be ideal, like when that would be the ideal case, you know, when they were regarded in the same way as men back then.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, women were much more respected after the work they did in World War II, but after that period of respect, it went down declining dramatically. That's why this whole feminist movement today is so prominent in society. So, yeah.
Actually, I have something to add on to
that. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well, from what I've read from the Atlantic news article, it says that in 1895, which is before World War I and before World War II, women in the state of Massachusetts, actually, only 22,000 out of 575,000 people or women
mm-hmm.
only 22,000 cared for it to actually vote for their own suffrage, and it just shows how
they themselves weren't really
compelled to even want to participate
mm-hmm.
But I think that has shifted in a cultural standpoint,
definitely. Yeah,
yeah. And it might even have to do with their maybe majority of them didn't want to be responsible after, like, receiving that power voting suffrage. Yeah. And that's why I think our voting age has decreased,
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that 18-year-old are allowed to, you know, or they were serving the country right. during the Vietnam War. And basically, I feel like some people did not want to oppose women's suffrage just because of they didn't want to take up other responsibilities that might be coming.
I feel like, you know, when you said that certain women, a lot of them didn't really feel the need to act to vote for suffrage. I feel like a lot of it had to do with like the societal pressure, you know?
The norms,
you know? The societal norm is that the woman would stay at home, take care of the kids, cook dinner, you know? Stay at home. But like, as times have gone, you know, times have changed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And women have gotten out of the house, they've gotten jobs, and like this kind of all flows together, you know? With the equal employment and them being regarded as the same, they're being able to work, they've kind of it's kind of led to the point where they're a big population of the voters in America, and it's a great thing, you know.
Yeah, it's a great thing, unless they like, you know, leave the child behind and feel the children start feeling neglected or mental problems start popping up. That's very controversial. I think mm-hmm. I'm not saying they should be denied the rights to work, but they just have to take care of their family if they do have one.
True, true.
And rather that, they might work for the financial need or even financial mm-hmm. stability. And one thing I want to talk about relating more to the females are the abortion movement. And
controversial.
Yeah, and there's a lot of anti-abortion movements today, the pro-life movement,
mm-hmm.
as we've seen. And it's been, I mean, the Planned Parenthood is getting attacked.
Yeah, it's kind of
every
a mess.
Now and then.
Yep.
Yeah, driving every time I drive by Five Guys, there's always like this
mm-hmm.
little group of like majorly like old people with the signs of like stop abortions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, and some to the extremes, they want to completely defund Planned Parenthood, I do not agree with that,
yeah.
even though I am for pro-life.
Definitely.
And the reason for that is because Planned Parenthood is a organization that was started by Margaret Sanger in 1921. And I mean, Margaret Sanger would rather prefer an organization handing out birth control and contraceptives
right.
rather than abortion.
Yeah, definitely. Birth control seems like a lot better. It's less expensive than having an abortion altogether by controlling.
Less pain too, you know?
Yeah,
pain
less
and
pain.
Suffering.
So, you know, it's just you pay less money for birth control, and then later on, like for abortion, the baby's already kind of developed, and then people want to get rid of them. It costs money. It takes his money out of the taxes.
It's also like that
actually
emotional.
Does not though. The abortion. Well, the funding for the Planned Parenthood organization,
mm-hmm.
like the taxpayer money,
mm-hmm.
they don't go directly to the abortion money.
No, not directly.
Yeah,
okay. The organization or what?
So it goes towards the organization for other, like their own, budgets.
Okay.
Not specifically for what
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. But. Sanger, yeah, as I was saying, Sanger was an advocate for a birth control and not abortion movement. And even the party, Jane Roe, her nickname was,
mm-hmm.
she actually turns into a pro-life advocate after the court case was decided.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, people are still fighting, and the controversial question is, how do you define life? Whether if it's inside your body, does that mean that it's not life itself? Because
is it considered a baby or a fetus?
In natural course, if you just give time, mm-hmm. it should continue over, and it will become a baby, a human, right?
Yeah, I think it
yes.
depends on the person.
And more even more controversial, how do you deal with victims of rape? Like,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
In the Roe v. Wade court decision, a row actually falsely claimed that she has been a victim of rape, and that is very, it's very shameful of her, of falsely claiming
false accusations are really,
that just makes it very harsh on the other people who has actually been raped,
right? And because it makes them seem like they're not as credible, because you're, you know,
yeah, it just seems like everyone could be falsely acclaimed. And she, in the state of Texas, she could not get a abortion unless it was proven that, or it was like evident that she has been a victim of rape. Mm-hmm. And that was legal to get an abortion as a result of a victim of rape.
Honestly, I think that that law for what state was Texas, right? I think that was really a law that in order to get an abortion, the person needs to be raped. That is a pretty good law.
Yeah, but did you know that according to I think the Guttheimer research, Planned Parenthood offer abortion right? And only 1.2% of the people who receive abortion has been a victim of rape. And I mean, do you want to justify all the wrongdoing of killing a baby or soon-to-be baby because of those 1.2% of people? Like, could you justify the wrongdoing of the other 98% by that 1.2%? I'm not saying 1.2% don't matter.
That's the minority counts.
Yeah, is it justifiable because of that they've been raped? Is it morally right to kill?
I personally don't believe in abortion. It really shouldn't happen. But it depends on the circumstances where both soon-to-be parents decide on that decision. Because it's now legal in most places, but it's all dependent.
It's not?
It's also legal back then, before Roe v. Wade, to get an abortion if the mother, or would have been mother, if her life is endangered. So,
I personally think that abortion shouldn't be allowed because there's always the choice of adoption. There's tons of people that can't have babies themselves, so I can't just give a life instead of taking it.
Yeah. Well, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. See you guys next week, same time.
Bye.
Bye.